As the children are going to children's church, turn with me to Psalms 19. This summer, I want to look through the book of Psalms. And I wanted to start, I thought I was going to start at Psalms 1 at the very beginning. But then I was led to Psalms 19, which talks about creation, talks about the beginning of time, or talks about creation. So I thought, I'm going to start at the beginning. Creation instead. So I wore my tie. My tie here says, "In the beginning, God created." So I thought that went along great with what I'm talking about today. Not every week am I going to be able to have a visual like this, but this topic is so important. It's so important. Many are veering off thinking other things. If we can't believe that God is behind creation, how can we believe any of the Bible? We cannot pick and choose what we believe. The creation theme is all over the Bible. It's not just the first two chapters of the Bible. It is all over the Bible. Let's read what King David says about creation. So let's look at Psalms 19, 1 through 6. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens He has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from the pavilion, like champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat." I'm going to stop right there. And first thing I want to see here is clear testimony of God. There is a clear testimony of God. You know, back in 1980, CNN took the air for the very first time. The first 24-hour news broadcasting station. Now, CNN is hard to escape because if you travel, you go anywhere in this world, you go to the airport or go to a hotel, seems like CNN is there. It's constantly on. Well, today, Psalms 19 points to us to a better news network. Now, I'm not talking about BBC or Fox News. You don't even need a cable subscription to view this. Today, I want to urge you to turn off CNN and Fox News and view the 24-hour broadcasting that we read about in Psalms 19. Long before CNN launched the first 24-hour news service, God's creation, the stars, the skies, the flowers, have been broadcasting around the clock. What are they saying? Listen to again these verses that I read this morning. Verse 1. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands." Verse 1 has two verbs, declare and proclaim. That is what creation does. The heavens are there and they make a declaration to the fact of God's glory. It is a sign to the whole human race that God does exist. There has to be a God, or all this wouldn't be here. When we drive by a house, we do not think that that just evolved over time, that house just all of a sudden got there. The house itself is a testimony that there was a builder was there. Even though I didn't see that the builder was there being built, I have no trouble understanding and coming to grips that there was a builder that built that house. When I see the world that we live in, there is not a doubt in my mind that there is a designer to this world. Everything works out perfectly for there to be life. The earth has to spin and orbit around the sun and stay on its orbit. You know, if it gets bumped off just a little bit, we'll get too close to the sun and we would be too hot, we'd fry. Or if we got too far away from the sun, we'd be too cold and we would freeze. We got gravity, inertia. We got all kinds of different creatures on this earth that show that there is a creator, that the creatures are male and female so they can repopulate. All of creation points to the fingerprints of God. Just think about the cells in your body. I don't know much about cells, but I Googled it, and they said that there's like 37 trillion cells in your body. 37 trillion cells, that's a lot of cells. That is a lot of cells. And it says that each cell contains about 1.5 gigabytes of data. That is a tremendous amount of data. That's a lot more than my laptop or my cell phone. We're full of that. So in the big ways and in the small ways, creation is declaring the glory of God. Verse 2 goes on to say, day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. This creation, this revelation about God's power and majesty is constant, occurring day after day and night after night. Humans are constantly reminded of God's existence. It goes on day after day and night after night. This is not intermittent revelation, as if God were sending a prophet one day and then it was quiet for years and years and years before sending another. The skies reveal the glory of God every single night of the week, every week of the year, year after year. They have done so since the beginning of creation. Verse 2 says they pour forth speech. Creation pours forth, not sprinkles out a little bit. Creation pours it out. Abundant display of knowledge. It is not just in one place. It's everywhere you look. The huge sky full of stars that were created and hung in place. The vast ocean teeming with life. The Grand Canyon. The mountains all over. Creation preaches 1,000 sermons a day to the human heart that God exists and created this masterpiece for us to enjoy. So verse 1 says creation declares God's glory. Verse 2 adds to it and says creation is constantly, constantly declaring God's glory. Verse 3 says there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. This revelation of God does not consist of language, of words. It's a nonverbal revelation. The heavens, therefore, offer a silent, continual testimony of God. That creation is not speaking in human tongue. Rather, creation speaks in a universal language that never ceases. Since this is a nonverbal form of communication, there's no language barrier. People in China can understand the creation of God just like the people of India, just like the people of South America, just like the people that speak English. All people in every language are able to comprehend this form of God revealing Himself to mankind through creation. So verse 3 adds to the first two verses. Without words, creation is constantly declaring God's glory. Verse 4 goes on to say, yet their voice goes out to all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. The scope of this testimony is worldwide. All people everywhere have access to this form of God's revelation. There is not a place where God's creation has not touched. It is all His creation. There are no geographic barriers. God has left a witness of Himself for everyone to see. So, one option for the origin of the universe is simply that things just popped into being. Uncaused from absolutely nothing. Common sense and scientific evidence tells us you cannot get something from nothing. The conditions that hold true in our universe preclude the possibility of matter springing out of nothing, which leaves us one only other possibility. The universe was created by some outside cause. Whatever caused the universe must be transcendent cause beyond the universe. It transcends time and space, since it created time and space. I don't know about you, but that sounds an awful lot like the God of our Bible. I think the Bible got it right when it said in Hebrews 3:4 says, "For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything." Just like I said earlier, just as a house doesn't pop up into existence, neither do universes. God spoke and He made this world. Each day God created and said, "Let there be," and there was. God spoke and things came about. If you don't know it yet, there's power in the words of God. That is why the Bible is so powerful. It's God-breathed. That is why it's important to follow the words of God, even if it doesn't make sense to us, because the words are powerful. There is power in the words of God. An interesting thing happens in Genesis 1:4. Genesis 1:4, it says, "God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness." God speaks and light shines. We know that. This is the first day of creation. But you see that it's not until the fourth day of creation until God creates the sun, the moon, and the stars. So where is the light coming from? Well, it comes from God Himself. This gives us more depth of claim that Jesus is the light of the world. And how we see in Revelation where there's not going to be sun or all this stuff in the new kingdom, that Jesus is going to be the light. Some people believe that Christians check their brains in at the door at the church and reject scientific reasoning. You hear people in the world say that you got to be stupid to believe in creation because science proves that the world is millions of years old. But maybe science doesn't take into consideration how God works when He created the earth. I believe that God created things with age. When I think of creation, I believe that God made trees. He didn't make seeds for the people to plant. He made grown-up trees. The trees were made fully mature. And God made man. He didn't make babies. He made man fully mature. Humans were created with age. The flood changed the way we look at fossils hidden deeply in the ground. Science has to take into consideration the creative ways that God has chosen to make this world and then to flood the world for the fossils to show the way they are. It was God who made it, so He can make it how He wants. We can't figure out God and His ways with this finite mind that we have. We have a finite mind. God is way too big for us to grasp and how He created things. Let's just move on to the second thing here today. Second thing is clear rejection of God. There's a clear rejection of God. Have you ever had a conversation with someone about your faith and their response is, "I don't believe anything that can't be proven by science"? That's a pretty popular argument today among people who claim to be atheists. The argument is that since God cannot be proven by scientific research, then that's evidence that God does not exist. Usually they will say that the burden of proof is on the Christian to prove that God does exist. There was an astronomer who lectured to a group in France, and he declared, "I have swept the whole universe with my telescope, and I find no God. As I look through all the universe with my telescope, I do not see I do not see God." A musician in the crowd appropriately rebuked the astronomer. "Your statement, sir, is unreasonable, as it is for me to say that I have taken my violin apart and have carefully examined each piece of my violin with the microscope, and I have found no music." If science is the gold standard for proof, describe love scientifically. In a murder case, we don't ask for the murderer to repeat that murder so we can scientifically observe, record, and conclude. Instead, we look at evidence. We hear the testimony. We talk with witnesses, and we make logical conclusions. If we truly look at evidence, the only conclusion of this world is, man, there's got to be a God. Genesis records that the world was created by a definite act of God. Consequently, the truth of the whole Bible is at stake if we are not able to believe the first few pages. We must believe in creation because this is not a side issue. Again, it's repeated throughout the Bible. I'm going to read several verses to you. And I want you to notice that the Bible is not hinting that maybe there's a creator. The Bible comes out and says God is the creator. And these are just samples. There's a lot more verses I could have chose. But I want you to see that these verses are from all throughout the Bible. It's not just Genesis, not just Psalms, John, it's all over. So John 1:3 says this, "Through Him, being Jesus, all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made." As I read that verse, how much has been made without Jesus? Nothing. Nothing. It's all been made through Him. Colossians 1:16 says, For in Him, all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. Again, all things have been created by Him. Isaiah 45:18. For this is what the Lord says. He who created the heavens, He is God. He who fashioned and made the earth, He founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. He says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Psalms 33:6. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of His mouth. Psalms 8:3. When I consider the heavens, the work of Your fingers, the moon and the stars which You have set in place. I hope you're getting the idea here. Revelation 4:11. You are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being. And finally, Hebrews 1:2-3. It says, But in the last days He spoke to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So I want you to see there, I could have listed so many other verses. There are many other verses. I could have went to Job and read out of Job. But I want you to see without a doubt that the Bible claims that there is a creator. And God is the creator. It's not in one place, but in many places throughout the Bible that God created. The Apostles' Creed begins simply and boldly, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Our God is the creator of the universe and everything in it. Isaiah 45:12 says, It is I who made the earth and created mankind upon it. My own hand stretched out the heavens. I marshaled their starry hosts. God created man, and they sinned, and they became disobedient to Him. So Jesus came into the world to die upon the cross for His creations. So that's right there, the Bible. He made us, and He redeemed us. That's the entire theme of the Bible. If I can't believe the first premises of that theme, that God made the world, how can I give authority to the second that He came to redeem us? Because if he lied about the first part, maybe he lied about the second part. No, it is, we must believe in creation. I either got to believe this book is either the most useless, misleading book ever written, or that this book is the deepest source of truth that can be found. We got to believe in creation. The truth of creation has been corrupted by sinful humanity. Paul wrote in Romans 1:25, "They have exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen." Humanity rejected the Creator and worshipped the creation instead. We see God's creation and we worship the Creator because of his, who He is. They see God's creation and they start worshiping creation instead of worshiping the Creator. The creation is supposed to point us to the one who created it. You know, Egyptians had many, many gods. They worshiped the sun god, the god of the waters. There was a god for almost everything that was created. They missed the God of creation because they were worshiping the things of creation. And that can be what's happening in our lives too. We miss God because we get caught up in the things of this world. In the New Testament, the Pharisees have evidence that Jesus is Messiah right in front of them, but they rejected it. We all have evidence in front of us that there is a God, but many people reject that evidence. It's all because of 1 Corinthians 2:14. 1 Corinthians 2:14, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit." They cannot understand the things of God. They can't understand creation because they don't have the Holy Spirit in them, teaching them and showing them. Some argue against the idea that there could be a God because a good God would not allow evil. The presence of evil for them is an argument against God. But isn't that a self-defeating argument? The presence of evil doesn't disprove the presence of God, but exemplifies His existence. When you talk about evil, you're assuming that there's good, right? When you assume there's good, you assume that there's some moral law. When you assume that there's a moral law, you assume a moral lawgiver. Without God, there are no objective moral values. So how can there be evil? And another thing I think about when, again, we must know that God created this world. Think of a painting. The time and effort that it took to make a painting. Just think of all the detail of a painting. Instead of recognizing the creator of the painting, that you just thought, well, somebody spilled some paint and just happened to be this picture on the page right there. Even if you could believe that somehow somebody spilled some paint and a picture came about, which is hard to believe, where did the paint come from? The paint had to come from somewhere. The Bible doesn't leave creation as something ambiguous. The Bible drives this point home as an absolute truth. Not only does the Bible repeatedly tell us that God is the Creator, but creation itself shows that it's true. Romans 1:20, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." You look at this world and you see the invisible qualities of God. This verse says that men are without excuse because God has shown them Himself by what He has made. Again, when you drive by a brand new house, it is evident that a builder was there. You may not have seen the builder working, but you see the evidence that he left behind. Sir Isaac Newton had a miniature replica of the solar system. So picture this miniature replica of the solar system. In the center was the sun with the planets revolving around it. A scientist who was an unbeliever entered Newton's study one day and exclaimed, "My, what an exquisite thing this is. Who made it?" And Newton replied, "Nobody. You must think I'm a fool. Of course somebody made it. He's a genius." Laying his book aside, Newton arose and laid a hand on his friend's shoulder and said, "This thing is a puny imitation of a much grander system, and I'm not able to convince you that this mere toy is without a designer or maker. Yet you profess to believe that the great original from which this design was taken came into being without a designer or maker. Now tell me, by what sort of reasoning do you reach such a conclusion? How can you look at the beauty of creation and think it all happened by accident? That some gases collided together and life was created? It takes more faith to believe that all of this was an accident than it does to believe that there's a divine grand designer. I mean, it takes more faith to believe in the randomness, that randomness brought order, than it does to believe a designer who brought order. The heavens declare the glory of God." But the question is, do you see it? Do you see it? It's available for all of us to see, but some don't see it. Sometimes we're blinded to things that are right in front of us. I remember right after my wedding shower, Jenna and I's wedding shower, someone was like, "Man, those were beautiful flowers." I was like, "What?" "Those were beautiful flowers." And I was like, "I didn't see any flowers at the wedding shower." And they said, "Well, they were right sitting there on the food table, right in the middle of the food table." I was like, "Oh, that's why I didn't see them. I was concentrated on the food." You know, you see that? I hope you see the truth in this illustration. The flowers were there even though I didn't see it. Some people are just caught up in the world. They're looking at other things that they don't see the flowers, that they don't see God's handiwork in creation. Well, the application for today: God's not done creating. God's not done creating. God created the world in 6 days, but He's still creating. He's creating in us to be a new people. Genesis 1:2 shows the state of things before God created the heavens and earth. It says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." So God created the heavens and the earth, but now we see the earth was empty and dark. I think this is a great description of our spiritual condition without God. God made us, but because of sin, we are dark and we are empty. God wants to come in and create something good in your life. He wants to bring light and life. If you are struggling in life, trying to do your own thing, let me tell you, there is good news. The Spirit of God is hovering over the emptiness and the darkness of your life. The Spirit of God is hovering over your darkness, wanting to show you and create light and life in you. He is ready to create something new. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, and the new has come." God sees that we are all full of sin and darkness. He wants to wash all away that sin from us and make us new, to shine His light into our lives. But as a new creation, we're still going to face difficulties. We need to remember, God didn't create this world instantly. He did it in 7 days. God could have created just one word and just spoken all into being right away, but He took 7 days. And I like the song that says, "He made the world in 6 days, but He's still working on me." He's still working on me. It seems to parallel how He works in our lives. He doesn't bring about perfection in our lives all at once. We know that we will not can be complete here on this earth, but it's not until that we leave this earth and with the Savior will we stand complete before Him without any sin. I long for that day. But he speaks into our lives day after day. Little by little, the darkness and empty seems to fade. So don't get discouraged when you see different things pop up in your life. Understand that God is still working things out for you in his life, in your life. He is continuing to create in me a new person. I have been following him for a long time. I've been following him for a long time, but God is still working on me. The Spirit of God wants to create something new in you. God's not done with you yet. And that's where we see Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. He wants to give us a new heart. He wants to put a new spirit, his spirit, a new attitude, new priorities, new passion for the kingdom of God. He wants to bring healing where there's brokenness, order where there's chaos, hope where there's despair, love where there's bitterness, faith where there's doubt. The God who spoke everything into existence can certainly do a work in each and every one of us. Will you let him create something new and beautiful in you? With that, I'm going to ask the praise team to come forward and lead us in our closing song. We're going to be singing, This is My Father's World. What God created. Everywhere we look, we see the fingerprints of God in his creation. Our Father made all of this for us to enjoy. But don't miss the Creator because you're just enjoying his creation too much. You got to know that the creation points us to the Creator. Let's stand and let's sing, This is My Father's World.